Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's Wednesday, March 4th, which means it's hump day. I'm going to help you get through it. Hopefully you're not having too hard of a day at work or wherever you're at on this fine Wednesday. It's March, y'all. It's my birthday month. Love it. But there's a lot to talk about with the Steelers. We're going to get into a few things to start off the show. We're going to talk about Vance McDonald. He had an interesting interview for Steelers.com with Teresa Varley. Going to go over that and what I think it means for where he's going to be with the team next season, because he's going to be with the team next season. I'll get more into why I think that's bigger news than most. Go over some NFL news and notes in the second segment. And then for the final segment, there was an interesting column from Peter King on the Steelers quarterback situation. And like most of the national media, he gets it wrong again. You'll get my thoughts on that then, but let's get into it. All right, everybody, happy hump day. Let's get through it together. I know Wednesday is always the rough part of the week. Once we get to Thursday, week going to be fine. So I'm going to help you get through it with a fun talk about the Steelers today, of course. Just want to shoot out a reminder to all of those, if you're not already subscribed to the Locked On Steelers podcast, you could do so right now on any major podcast platform, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, any of those platforms. Hit the subscribe button to stick with us. Also, please leave a 5-star review with a positive comment. Those really help me get the word out about the show. Also, if you're not in tune right now, I am competing in Pittsburgh Media March Madness, where I'm a 16 seed. I'm the underdog going up against a 1 seed. And right now, we're neck and neck with that 1 seed, Colby Armstrong, trying to move on in the bracket. I'm trying to create some huge upsets here, and I need y'all votes. So if you go to my page right now on Twitter, at Carter Critiques, you sign up for Twitter. If you're not already on Twitter, I had a few people do that. Thank you so much. You can go right to my page, look up where I've posted. I'm going to keep retweeting it. Vote for me on that poll. You can find the poll there by looking up some of the tweets I've been posting. If you vote for me, also retweet asking for more votes for me. Be really appreciated. So getting that in while we can now. Next up, let's talk about, to start the day, about this Vance McDonald article from Steelers.com. It was posted on Monday. It was posted a few days ago, and it was an interesting talking point because it was from Teresa Varley of Steelers.com. So when you guys got to understand, there are Steelers writers, and then there are people who write for the Steelers. A Steelers writer is like a beat writer, like Dale Lally, like Ed Bouchette, like Jerry Dulac, guys that cover the Steelers beat for another organization or a newspaper or something along those lines. But people who write for the Steelers, like Bob Labriola, like Teresa Varley, like Missy Matthews, which she's more of a video person, those are individuals who literally work for the team. Their job is to represent the team in a positive light and to get positive media out there, but also interesting enough that fans want to engage with it. So understand that when it's coming from the team, that's a different thing than being just coming from a newspaper or a local source. So the fact that they would even release and do an article on Vance McDonald should really signal to a lot of people that they're very serious about keeping him and giving him a chance to fight next year. So this article was basically about how McDonald felt about his 2019 season, and it's titled, McDonald admits he took steps backwards. Talking about his 2019 season, quote, McDonald said, "I think I took some steps backwards, unfortunately, as a player. I don't even need a coach to give me criticism because I have too much of it already. I think of it as having almost that edge in 2018, being known for having that play with the stiff arm, the run after whenever I would have a reception. I didn't have as many of those. It makes me want to attack this offseason and next season that much harder. I think offensively, it was a much different team. It forced players to take a hard look at where we are, our personnel, the ever-changing lineup because of injuries and so forth. They can all be excuses, but at the same time, they all present specific things we have to overcome and adjust to. Took some time adjusting. I think overall, there was a stretch where we had a lot of success as a team. For me, looking back and analyzing it all, I wish I would have done more." Now, bottom line about Vance McDonald, yeah, he did take a step backward for sure. If you look at his whole career, he's definitely had his best time with the Steelers. He was with the Niners for 4 years before he was traded to the Steelers. you look at it, he really didn't do anything in his first 2 years. In his third and fourth year, he was in the 300 yards range. He had 3 touchdowns in 2015, 4 touchdowns in 2016. Then in his first year with the Steelers in 2017, he was hurt a lot. He only started 7 games, only played in 10. Only had 188 yards receiving and a single touchdown. So it was really rough. And his reputation with the Steelers was that, oh man, this guy's hurt. And a lot of people still think that is his reputation. Oh, he's never available. But if you look back over his last 2 seasons with the Steelers, he's only missed a combined 4 games. He's started in 14 games each season. That means he's only missed 2 games a year. In 2018, he had his best season, statistically speaking, when he had 50 catches on 72 targets for 610 yards. That's by far the most. He never got more than 391 yards before that. And he had 4 touchdown receptions. Also, that was the year of the Chris Conte touchdown catch and run against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers when he just banished Chris Conte into the shadow realm. That guy has never played, has not played football since that stiff arm. That's how bad that was. But this year, there was definitely a drop-off. Just as many games started, 14 for 14, but 55 targets, only 38 catches, only 273 yards, but he did have 3 touchdowns. But you do have to, Vance McDonald's going to hold himself to a high standard, and I think this is what was cool about the interview for him, coming from him as a player, is that he's not going to use Devlin Hodges and Mason Rudolph as an excuse as to why his numbers were down. He wants to be better because he knows he can still get better. He's not the best tight end in the game, so that means he knows he has to work harder, and I think he knows he has to be a bigger part of the offense than what he might have even thought he had to be, because in past years with the team, in 2017, they had Le'Veon Bell. They had Antonio Brown. In 2018, they had Antonio Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster. They had all these other answers. Now, their top option is Juju Smith-Schuster and maybe Deontay Johnson, maybe James Washington. They're still unsure about what's going on at running back. Ben Roethlisberger is coming off an injury. They do need Vance McDonald to step up. So I think him having this attitude is great. But the big thing about this article for me isn't really anything about what he said in it. It's the fact that the Steelers released this on their own website. When you look at the facts, add them up. Why would the Steelers authorize something like this to be released on their page about a player that they're going to get rid of this year? They're not going to do it. And the reason I bring this up is if you're wondering, well, Chris, why are you talking about Vance McDonald being gone? Well, it's because all these other people I've been seeing online talking about, man, cut Vance McDonald. You save about $5 million. No, don't do that. And I'm speaking, when I say all these other people, I'm talking about just Twitter, Facebook, and things I've seen, social media, radio hosts in Pittsburgh. They're talking about it all the time because they look at that cap number. They're like, oh, you can save about $5 million if you cut him right now and go into this offseason. Listen, I know the Steelers need cap space, but Vance McDonald is the only viable option they have at tight end right now. They have no other person that could potentially be a starter for the team that on their roster. So they need him to be on the team. You can get your space by getting rid of Chicolo, getting rid of Barron, getting rid of Foster, maybe even getting rid of Jordan Berry, restructuring some other guys. The space can be made that way. But Vance McDonald is in a position where you need to protect him and you need him on the roster. And again, he's not as injury prone as people think he is. He's only missed 4 games in the past 2 years. That's a pretty good rate considering that that football is a physical game and that people on average are just going to miss games. So I'm on the side of keeping Vance McDonald. Are you on the side of keeping Vance McDonald? If you are, let me know on Twitter. At Carter Critiques is my Twitter profile. Follow me. I'll follow you back. Hit me with the @. Hit me with the DM. If you want to keep it private, I'm always down to keep conversations private. I understand some people aren't big about just putting their opinions out there. But if you are, hit me up anytime. You can also talk about it in the Facebook group, Locked On Steelers. So just go to Facebook, search Locked On Steelers. You can ask to join. I'll add you as soon as I can, get you in. You'll be talking with hundreds of other loyal Locked On listeners that listen every day and chat about stuff every day in the group. So, is Vance McDonald, is he the answer? Is he still going to be good for next year? I think he is. I think he's actually a crucial part of what they need to do as an offense, which is why they're going to keep him and why I think everyone should stop talking about what they should do about tight end at the starting position, because they already know it's going to be Vance McDonald. All right, that's it. Headed to our first break. After this, we're going to talk some national stuff that I saw and my takes on where some teams are going and where some teams are not. All right, let's get back to it. All right, talk about some national news and just where it drives my mind when I see things like this pop up. This isn't anything bad per se. It's just more so my takes on how things happen and why things happen around the NFL and how other teams operate. Big news that popped up is that the Jaguars are trading cornerback A.J. Bouye to the Denver Broncos for, it looks like, a fourth-round pick and potentially more. Bouye having 2 years left on his contract. Broncos needing another cornerback because I believe they're letting go of Chris Harris Jr. Lots of things about this, and here's why. One, getting a fourth-round draft pick for a cornerback that was at one point a first-team All-Pro, I believe. He was right next to Jalen Ramsey in 2017. This was a guy who was locking everything down for them, and he was really good for the Texans before the Jaguars, but he was absolutely part of what they were doing on defense that was great just 2 or 3 years ago, and now he's gone. And, you know, outside of the trade itself, look at the Jaguars. Look at what they've become just 2 years after making the AFC Championship game. They don't have, you know, Blake Bortles didn't work out. They brought in Nick Foles. The Jaguars have announced that they're ready to trade Nick Foles away. Leonard Fournette isn't the same monster that he was back then because, you know, you kind of saw how that was going to go. He was a very physical runner, and they weren't a team that was really going to be built around the run game too well. They needed the defense to thrive. You look at Jalen Ramsey, he's gone. You look at Yannick Ngakoue, he wants out, and they're trying to franchise tag him, but he's saying he's never going to play for the Jaguars again. You look at Calais Campbell, he's still there, but Dante Fowler, their former top five pick in the draft, is gone. You know, I think it was Miles Jack. They have linebackers that don't want to play anymore for them. Remember when the Jaguars were, you know what, maybe they're the next big thing. Maybe they're what's going to take over the NFL. That defense looks unstoppable. And now their window is gone faster than anything you could imagine. And this is what I talk about when I talk about the difference between great organizations and good teams. Because there are good teams that come on occasion. They get real hot real fast, and then they flame out. The Jaguars had a flame, and it was gone extremely quickly. But this is why the Steelers are very different. Even though they beat the Steelers that 1 year when they were missing Ryan Shazier and their defense just fell completely apart, and they lost at Heinz Field, and it was embarrassing because it was Blake Bortles, even though Blake Bortles almost beat Tom Brady in Foxborough the next week, if it wasn't for the NFL calling a ridiculous, calling Miles Jack down on a turnover that would have led to a touchdown and put the Patriots away in that game. But all that aside, people were talking about how the Jaguars, and they figured it out, and they're doing something right that the Steelers aren't. And now here we are, just a couple years later, and that entire core is demolished. They're completely gone. Now, have the Steelers changed? Yes, but the Steelers have been on a steady, gradual change since then. That back then, that was TJ Watt's rookie season. And we saw him developing that year. He had a good amount of sacks. We saw, like, okay, he's heading in the right direction. He's doing the right things. We like where he's going. You saw Joe Hayden. That's when he was brought to the Steelers. He's doing well for that position. You've seen development. Cam Hayward, Stephon Tuitt, those guys were part of that. Marquise Pouncey, David DeCastro, they're still here for that. The Steelers, and then now this juggernaut of a defense that they've developed that we think is going to continue to be a juggernaut in 2020. Yeah, it's taken some serious strides over the past 2 years because of trades and high draft picks that they've also traded for. But the part of it is because they've been building their way to get to there. They didn't just go into free agency and sign them overnight. And this whole segment I wanted to lead in about this trade is particularly about how teams are built. The Jaguars built that team by signing people in free agency. They went and got A.J. Bouye. They went and got Calais Campbell. They went and signed other big names to their roster. And just a year ago, they signed Nick Foles after winning the Super Bowl with the Eagles. They thought, hey, you're going to be the guy. And then he was hurt for the whole year, and now they're talking about trading him away already. And because, you know, they think that Gardner Minshew is going to be the guy. I think that's a mistake, but that's another story. But this is not how a good organization is supposed to be run. You want to have fluidity. You want to have a sense of direction where you're not panicking all the time and saying, okay, let's go this way. Okay, wait, let's go that way. You got to give, when you take a serious step in a direction, you need to follow up with several other steps. You need to keep going in that direction to explore the direction that you take. Otherwise, you're just going to keep starting, taking one step in each direction and never getting anywhere. Think of it as you're trying to explore different paths and what different hallways that you can go down and how far you can go down and what doors you can open that open up other opportunities for you. If you just keep taking one step into one hallway and then jump out and then go in another direction because you don't like the first step of that direction, it's fine if you see that you were wrong on your first taking, that you're going to correct yourself. But if you do that 5 or 6 times in a row, you're never going to get anywhere. You're just going to be in the same spot 5 or 6 years later, and that's where the Jaguars are. But if you're the Steelers, if you take a few steps, like, hey, might have took a misstep here, might have took a misstep there, but we're still heading in the right direction, and you've opened a few other doors. Like, for example, they're still on the Ben Roethlisberger train. People thought that they should have traded Ben Roethlisberger, a decade ago, back when he was having problems with, domestic violence accusations, and he had some rocky up and down years. The Steelers stuck with him. They stuck with Mike Tomlin, and they know that when they have quality personnel, when they have quality guys that they can rely on to step up and step in and keep the organization at the level that it's supposed to be, and give them a shot to win, they're going to allow themselves to explore the potentials of where those guys can go. When you continue to jump around like the Jaguars, like the Browns do, when you look at the joke of how long their quarterbacks list is, when you see that jersey with all the names of the Browns quarterbacks over the past 20 years, and it's just a laundry list of people that are just horrible. That's what those teams want. That's why the Steelers don't just get rid of Mike Tomlin just because he's only won 5 playoff games in the past decade. That's why they don't get rid of Ben Roethlisberger, because he got hurt for a season. No, they stick to their guys. They say, hey, you know what? You've delivered for us. We trust you. We know your work ethic. We're going to give you a chance to come back. That's why the Steelers are who they are. That's why they're not the Jacksonville Jaguars right now and having to completely rebuild. Now, yes, the Jaguars also have 10 draft picks coming up this year. So they're going to get a chance to rebuild with that. But here's the thing. The Jaguars have been doing this for years. Y'all know Tyson Alulu, the backup Steelers defensive lineman who backed up Javon Hargrave and Stephon Tuitt and Cam Hayward this year. You know he was the 10th overall pick of his draft with the Jacksonville Jaguars about six or seven years ago. He was going to be the next coming of their defensive line. He was supposed to be the trendsetter for them, and he turned out just to be a depth player. That's where the Jaguars are. The Steelers rarely make those picks. If you go back over the past decade, going from 2010 to 2020, first round draft picks. Let's go by year. Marquise Pouncey in 2010, smashed hit, home run. 2011, Cam Hayward, smashed hit, home run. 2012, David DeCastro, smashed hit, home run. 2013, Jarvis Jones, okay, swung and missed. That's fine. You swing and a miss once in a while, that's going to happen. 2014, Ryan Shazier, smashed hit, home run. Yes, he got injured, but you could never predict that by the way that he was playing. He was looking like a complete X factor that was going to change the game for the Steelers defensively. And once he was injured in 2017 season, you saw how bad their defense got. So 2015, Bud Dupree, I wouldn't say a smashed hit home run, but I would say they got on base with that hit. And now they're starting to pay dividends because they followed up with other great picks. Now 2016, Artie Burns, yeah, sure, that was a swing and a miss. But 2017, T.J. Watt, smashed hit home run. And when you smashed hit home run with Bud Dupree on base, excuse all my baseball analogies, but you brought in 2 runs with that hit, because now T.J. Watt and Bud Dupree are a Batman and Robin dynamic duo for the Steelers. So that kind of stuff works. 2018, Terrell Edmonds. Still to be determined, but 2019, Devin Bush, 8th most tackles in Steelers history, I think, with the way that he played last season. Best rookie season of an inside linebacker than we've seen since Kendrell Bell. And then 2020, I mean, really, that's Minkah Fitzpatrick, and excuse me, but he's a first-team all-pro player. They know what they're doing. They have a system. There's a reason the Steelers operate the way they do. Don't try to rock the boat of that. Let them operate. Let them change course when they need to. Because yes, trading to get Minka Fitzpatrick was a change of course. But when they saw the opportunity, they took the stab. Let them make those calls and trust them when they make their decisions. So whenever you find yourself questioning them, think, you know what? Maybe there's a reason they're not dipping into free agency right now. Maybe the reason they're keeping that player over there when I thought they shouldn't keep that player. Maybe there's a reason they drafted this player earlier than I thought they should have drafted this player. It's because Kevin Colbert, Mike Tomlin, and the Steelers front office, they know what they're doing, and they're not going to have you like the Jaguars spinning your wheels, getting occasional success once every decade, and then falling back into mediocrity and having to rebuild every 3-4 years. All right, so that's this segment. Going to get back to some Steelers-specific stuff right after this. Okay, so I wanted to dip into this. Now, you guys have heard my Ben Roethlisberger rants. You all have heard me talk about just where this, why the national media continues to just get things wrong. But I'm gonna delve into something that's another national column type of deal. And Peter King is a highly respected, sports writer. He always has been. He's been on TV. He's been on radio. He's also been highly critical of the Steelers at times, even though he talked about how he respects the Steelers as an organization, and there's times that Peter King has really stepped up for the Steelers. I actually got to meet him about a year or two ago at training camp. I introduced myself to him. He seemed like a nice guy, but I just don't understand the Steelers takes sometimes. And where am I going with this? Chris, you're like, probably, Chris, why are you talking about Peter King? Well, he released an article just last week talking about how he really wants the Steelers to sign quarterback Jameis Winston. What? I'm sorry, what? Now, Tony Cirino, as you know him, our boy, our homie, our former co-host, he lives in Tampa Bay. Jameis. I don't know. Is it Jameis or Jameis? I always say Jameis. Anyways, Jameis Winston. Mr. Winston. Tony's told me about how Tampa Bay feels about this guy. They don't want him. They can't stand the guy. He was I think he was first overall, but he was their top pick 1 year. He was supposed to be the savior of the franchise and turn around as the franchise quarterback that fixed everything, and he has done the opposite of that. Now, yes, it is extremely impressive to be able to throw 30 touchdowns and 30 interceptions in the season. That is literally 30 for 30. They should make an ESPN special just off of this past year alone. But why would the Steelers go and get Jameis Winston right now? Look at who he is as a player. One, he's going to cost money because he is a starting quarterback caliber guy. It's obvious the Buccaneers want to move on from him. He's going to be in free agency. Now, maybe if they get him for cheap, if he wants to come to the Steelers for $2 to $3 million a year, fine, great. Yeah, you come over here and just be Ben Roethlisberger's backup. He'd be a heck of a lot better than Mason Rudolph and Devlin Hodges right now because he has all that experience. He does have a big arm. He does have a big body. He has a lot of the build that you want of a franchise quarterback. But as a leader, just look at the things that he's done. He's put himself in the media for big mistakes time and time again. Things he said, from the crab leg stealing incident when he was in college, from when he made the comment about why boys need to stand up and girls need to sit down. That was a whole other thing that he just needed to not say. If you ever saw the clip of when he was trying to inspire his teammates in Tampa Bay a couple years ago, and he said, "We got to eat a W today," and he literally makes a W with his fingers and then proceeds to like look like he's eating the W. It was the most embarrassing hype up speech ever that none of his teammates felt him. Everyone was just kind of like, "What are you doing?" You can see at one point if you go YouTube that video, it is out there. Look up this video, watch Jameis Winston make this speech, and then look at DeSean Jackson, who at the time was with the Buccaneers, and look at his face looking at Jameis Winston like, "I have made a huge mistake by signing a contract with this team to catch passes from this player." Why would the Steelers want that on their roster? They got problems with young quarterbacks already. Mason Rudolph has to deal with Myles Garrett allegations. They don't need other guys that are going to just create, waves and start headlines. No, Peter King, just say no to that idea. Now, again, if Winston wants to come on the cheap, fine. Yeah, they could just take that, you know, but Winston's probably going to cost, you know, upwards of $6, $7, $8, maybe even $9 million with the price that tag that he has. And people think I'm crazy for saying that, but Case Keenum made $7 million last year. And Case Keenum is just, he's even worse than Jameis Winston. He just doesn't have the headache of that he brings. Sam Bradford made a killing off the NFL. I think he's made over $150 million in the NFL, and he's never played a full season that was worth anything. Quarterbacks that were drafted in the first round and have that kind of profile, they're always going to command that kind of money in the NFL until they have worn out their welcome. And Winston, maybe he's there, but I don't think he's worn out his welcome yet. I think he's going to get another big contract. There's no reason for the Steelers to be the team that gives him that contract. So if you saw that article, it's just another example of national people not getting what's going on in Steeler land. Again, if you want a better understanding, follow what I do. Follow me. Follow at Carter Critiques on Twitter. I'll keep you on pace. Follow Dale Lally. Follow people like Dan Kovacevic. Follow people like Ed Bouchette, Mark Caboli. There's plenty of people out there that do this. Jerry Dulac, Jim Wexel, Ray Fittipaldo. There's tons. Joe Rutter. There's tons of people out there that are around the team all season long and get a better set. Hunter Homestek, my buddy from DK Pittsburgh Sports as well. There's plenty of people that have a stronger connection to the organization than guys that just sit back in their armchairs and look at the Steelers on TV once every 4 weeks and think, huh, I think they should do this. That's often what you're going to get when you get takes like that from the national media. So stay away from it. It'll keep you from going crazy. Stick with the local guys and gals, because there are a few of them out there. And keep, you know, understand their words are coming from a much closer source than the national guys. But Jameis Winston, just no. I don't see that happening. If the Steelers grab any veteran quarterback, it will be some small-named guy that's bouncing around, that's not going to get a whole lot of money, and is really just going to compete with Mason Rudolph as a camp arm. And don't expect that to be a whole lot. Don't expect it. I mean, and you know, with Jordan Pearsall, who was this week's mock draft Monday winner, when he brought up Cole McDonald, the reason I thought that was a legitimate pick in the seventh round was if you can get a guy with a strong arm and a big body and some athleticism in the last round to just come into camp and push people, that's all you need really right now. Here's the reality, people. If Ben Roethlisberger goes down, this next season is done. And trying to sign a backup quarterback just because of that is silly. Because if you go and get, say they even get Ryan Fitzpatrick, they're not winning the Super Bowl with Ryan Fitzpatrick. They may compete a little bit, but they need Ben Roethlisberger and they need a ground game. So instead of trying to invest over $10 million in a backup quarterback, keep your young guys, maybe get a new guy in the draft, maybe get a cheap guy through free agency, work that way. When you do all that, then you're going to give yourself in this upcoming draft and say, hey, you know what? I got a shot here because I'm just going to give this guy, I'm going to push Mason Rudolph, and then maybe Mason Rudolph becomes the backup quarterback that you need just for a few games this season. But thinking that the Steelers need to go and get another full-time, big money starting quarterback right now, not the move. And I get Peter King is thinking that, you know, Winston could stick around for whenever Ben Roethlisberger leaves. That's just not the answer. He's gonna cost too much right now. They have a legitimate shot at making the playoffs and making a Super Bowl run. I don't know why they would stir that up. So anyways, that's that right now. Thanks for listening to the Locked On Steelers podcast. Again, if you like the show, hit the subscribe button. Please leave a 5-star review as well as a positive comment. Those things really help me get the word out about the show. Thanks to all those who are part of the Locked On Steelers podcast community. If you want to join that community, we have a Facebook group. Search Locked On Steelers on Facebook. You can join the Facebook community at any point in time and talk with all the hundreds of other Locked On listeners. We got loyal Steelers fans all up in there. If you want to follow me on Twitter, hit me with @CarterCritiques. If you follow me, I'll follow you back. Hit with the @DM. Always down to chat with you guys. Thanks so much for those who do chat with me. Also, if you do leave a 5-star review on our show on Apple Podcasts, I will read that aloud on the show as long as it's safe for work. Get your name out there. And I appreciate all those who have left 5-star reviews. I'll be back tomorrow. It'll be Thursday, which means Throwback Thursday. Gonna have a fun column there. But we're also gonna be talking more about what's going on in Steelers world.